Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Wednesday, December 8th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. I had an interesting experience today, actually two experiences back to back. I like to call it synchronicity when things line up the way they did today. So let me share with you what happened. I had to go into Austin for a couple of appointments today, and one of my appointments was personal. I had an appointment at a salon to get my hair cut, and I arrived about a half hour early. I drive down from Waco. I live north of Austin. It takes about an hour and a half, so I got there about a half hour early. So I was sitting in my car, looking at my phone, browsing some websites, and I got to the website American Greatness. And there are several articles on there every day that are usually so well written by credible people with good reputations and excellent writing skills. And today I was reading a piece by Dennis Prager. And the post was called, Why You Should Come Out of the Closet with Your Conservative Values. And he was talking about how it's more difficult to publicly assert conservative values than it is to come out of the closet in being gay. That the mainstream media and the government has swung so far left that there's a reluctance by conservatives to publicly share their opinions because of cancel culture, because of job loss, because of shaming, because of all sorts of things. I read this article and then I went into the salon, and the young woman the stylist who was going to cut my hair, saw me come in early. She came and sat down next to me, and we started talking. And you have to understand that Austin is very woke, the entire city. It's unlike any place else in Texas. If you don't live in Texas, you might not know. But if you live here, you're very well aware that Austin is sort of the outlier of cities in Texas, in that even though Texas has become more blue in its voting patterns, it nonetheless is a very conservative and Republican state. So when you go into Austin, it's like going into an alternate universe or a different culture. And in Austin, everyone is wearing masks for sure, because you have to in the commercial stores, even though there's no mask mandate in Texas. And in fact, a judge recently at the appellate level upheld an earlier implementation of a ban against mask mandates in Texas that was implemented by Governor Abbott. And then subsequently, a lower court overturned that and said, you know, he could not issue non-wearing mask mandates. An appellate court said he could. So in Texas, an awful lot of people don't wear masks. But in Austin, that's not the case. And especially in the businesses and offices in Austin, the employees all wear masks. So I went into the salon not wearing my mask, and I'm sitting and talking with the stylist who is wearing her mask, and she says, boy, I hope things get back to normal soon. No. What she said was, I'm so glad we're at the end of the year. I'm looking forward to 2022. And she kind of rolled her eyes and said, I'm hoping things will be better. And then she said, then again, with the new variant. And I said, well, realize something. The new variant is more contagious, but it's less deadly. It's less harmful. It's just more contagious. And then I shared with her something that I had been told by a physician friend of mine in Austin when this all began back in early 20, that there would be variant after variant after variant, and each successive variant would be more contagious and less deadly because that's how viruses evolve. And so I wasn't surprised when Delta arrived, and I wasn't surprised when Omicron arrived, or however you pronounce it, and I won't be surprised when the next one arrives, but I haven't been more frightened or more concerned with every one of them. So I shared that with her. And then she said, and I could tell that there was something about what I shared with her that let her kind of relax a little. I saw in her eyes that she was being cautious, but taking a baby step. And she said, yes, well, you know, my sister was pregnant and we all encouraged her not to get the vaccine, but she did. And 10 days later, she miscarried. And I said, I'm so sorry. And she said, well, it's, you know, that was months ago and she's pregnant again. And I said, well, you know, congratulations, whatever. Then she began to talk a little bit more about COVID. And the more we talked, the more relaxed I saw her get. And when I said I was vaccine free, it was as if a weight had been lifted off of her. And she began to share with me her opinions about what's going on in the country with the vaccine, with COVID, with the government's response. And we were very much on the same page. She is, I guess you would call her, I hesitate to call someone a conservative simply because they're thinking in a way that I think is simply common sense. But I'll label her that without knowing for sure that I'm right about labeling her a political conservative. What I can label her is someone who thinks for themselves. I thought it was particularly synchronistic and ironic that here I had been just reading an article about how cautious people are about expressing their, quote, conservative views in public, not just about the coronavirus, just in general, whether it's about child rearing or whether it's about education or whether it's about the political landscape or it's about government versus state administration, whatever it is, how people are reluctant, who feel differently than the mainstream media and the extreme left of the Democrat Party, which has now taken over and influenced the Democrat Party as a whole, feel. There is, as the essay that Dennis Prager wrote, or the post that he wrote said, there are several reasons to be vocal about your opinions. One of them is, it's nice to find like-minded people, and you're not going to find them if they don't know you're there. We're not going to find each other if we don't put ourselves out there as having those opinions. The second reason is you feel better. You feel better when you speak up. You know, I think I may have said in a prior podcast, I had a friend who used to say, never communicate in a way that threatens someone else's reality. And for a very long time, I understood that and I found merit in it. I understood what she was saying, and she was fundamentally saying that when you threaten someone else's reality, they become defensive, and therefore you're unlikely to find common ground because they're immediately in a defensive mode. But I want to tweak that a little bit in terms of how I now approach that. There's a book called Nonviolent Communication, and I think the author is Rosenberg or Rosenstein, his last name. I think that's a truer and a better way to approach conversations with people with whom you disagree, which is to practice nonviolent communication, to practice what that vocabulary looks like, what that sentence structure looks like, so that when you elicit opinions from others, you don't elicit them putting them in a defensive posture. You sort of give them, by nature of the way you express yourself, you give them space and freedom to feel safe to say what they believe. And then if you believe similarly, you find a like-minded person. But more importantly, if you don't agree, you create a space where you can discuss your differences without an accusatory or a condemning posture. And I think that's a much healthier way to approach where we are in this country than the other principle of never communicate in a way that threatens someone else's reality. Because if you abide by that premise or that principle, you may be intimidated and unlikely to express yourself at all. from a place of truthfulness. Because if you know someone else, for example, if you're an arch, let's say, conservative, and someone you know is an arch liberal, and you express yourself, but you don't want to express yourself in a way that threatens their reality, and you're not a wordsmith, and you haven't read nonviolent communication, you may be unlikely to speak your truth at all because you don't want to upset them. You don't want to threaten their reality. And all that does is silence your truth. So I don't think it's the best approach any longer. I think maybe being a little more circumspect about the language that we use and how we express ourselves, and that we stay aware of whether or not we're being accusatory or whether we're giving someone else space to feel safe, to express their own opinions, even if they differ from ours, is a much better way to go. So today, I had a back-to-back experience, right? I had the reading of the post by Dennis Prager, immediately followed by my own experience with seeing someone reluctant to express their, let's call them, conservative views until she was sure she was talking to a like mind, until she was certain that she wasn't going to, number one, I'm sure, create a situation in her professional environment where hostility was generated, because after all, she's an employee, not the owner of the salon, but also where she's in an environment, Austin, where the assumption is you're uber liberal if you're in Austin. The assumption is that's who you're going to be. And there's no mistake or error that Austin's logo is Let's Keep Austin Weird. By weird, Austin means everything and anything kind of goes, and that puts you on the front edge of the latest trends. And of course, the latest trend is wokeness and cancel culture. Having said that, I wanted to just share with you what my experience was today, because I have a feeling it can resonate for many of my listeners, and it maybe give you food for thought on how you may want to approach what you've been doing with your own thoughts and how you've been expressing them or not expressing them, for the very reasons that both Dennis Prager wrote about and that I've chosen to speak about in this podcast. So, along with think for yourself, then I guess I have to say speak for yourself. Speak from your heart. Speak from what you believe is fundamentally in your best interest and the best interest of the nation. Speak from a place of certainty that you are entitled to those opinions, even if they differ from what now appears to be the majority. Because in fact, it's not the majority. The majority of people in this country are middle of the road, are neither right nor left, but tend to lean right, lean more conservative. But the coasts, right? LA, New York, California, New York State, New York City, the coasts are where the culture is concentrated, the dominant culture. And it's where both the media and tech, marketing, and financial systems are located. And so all of that gets driven by those two narrow slivers of land that flank either coast. Most of America lives in between those two slivers, and most of America is not politically extreme left. And so I think we're going through a transition right now. And if you're in any way uncomfortable with that transition, maybe step up and be heard. Be heard in every way you can. Be heard in your own personal life. Maybe if you're a writer, write a post. If you're a speaker, you know, speak on, maybe get yourself interviewed. If you're none of those, get involved in your community so that you are a counter voice to what seems to be the prevailing trend. I personally want to believe that it's a passing trend. I think the extreme to which cancel culture and wokeness, defund the police, and mandates for vaccines that aren't based in science, I think they've kind of run their gambit. I think they've pushed it all too far. And like any pendulum, once it goes all the way to one extreme, it's a matter of physics. It's going to come back all the way to the other way, and then it's going to rest somewhere in the middle. And I think that's where we'll wind up. That doesn't mean the transition won't be challenging, and it doesn't mean there isn't a lot of discomfort as we go through it. But I'm an optimist. I am a catastrophist, but I'm an optimistic catastrophist. And there's something for you to think about and ponder until I'm back again. So thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold. You've been listening to Think for Yourself. And until I'm back here again, please do think for yourself.